service is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Woo! Good evening, everybody. What a day. What a day, what a day. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. My name is Abraham Hamilton III. I am the host of this program. I'm joined by the Corner Contingent. Right across from me, my man, 100 grand. Y'all should see him. He looked like he's joining in with the Mississippi Valley State Band, who's right now getting down at the Capital One Center in Washington, D.C., for President Trump's Inauguration Day parade. You would have thought...
He's a bad
yes.
man!
See, you would have thought Mr. Rosa was a drum major back in his day, you know, because he's... Huh, with your bad self, socket to ye. And in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, often imitated, never duplicated. Many try, but they'll just fry. You might speak, but some men lie. The real J Mac, ladies and gentlemen, we're ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. What a day! Goodness! From Mr. Trump, President Trump, America's 45th and 47th president of the United States, announcing, I'll give you a little bit of that, that the golden age of America, that's big words, man, begins today is what he said. He said some other things, too, that there are only two genders in America, and he's looking forward to planting the stars and stripes on Mars. That's what he said. That's what he said, among other things. And we have... Good boy. Just when you thought there was nothing more to confirm what you already know to be true, on his way out of the door, or my grandmother would say, out the door, Mr. Biden pardons his family. And the wee little leprechaun, Anthony Fauci, with Anthony Fauci's pardon dating back to 2014. Huh. Isn't that something? And then... There's the substance of this, which I have discussed, its announcement, and then Mr. Prime Minister Netanyahu's repudiation of it, and then his embracing of it. That is the temporary, and I emphasize the words temporary because that's what he did. That is Israel's Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu, which culminated yesterday with three of the initial hostages being returned, Israeli hostages being returned to their families. Yesterday, but I want to discuss that substance, but I also want to discuss the environment surrounding the exchange, because there'll be a lot of people talking about, you know, what happened, but they won't show you the environment. We'll have a conversation about that. So much to get to, but before we do, I want to direct your attention to the Word of God. This won't be new information, but a reminder of something that you already know. But it's one thing to be aware of something intellectually. It's another thing to put it into practice. And because things are simple, it doesn't mean that they're easy to implement. But we also have to be honest that things that are often challenging to implement doesn't mean that they're complex. It doesn't mean that they're complex. I'm going to direct your attention, as is our custom on this program, to the Word of God in Jeremiah chapter 29. I know a lot of people like to focus on simply verse 11. I would encourage reading the entire chapter as well as the entire book to understand the context that we get that passage within. But also there's a principle there that is applicable to us today. Just by way of reminder, this is a letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent by emissary, if you will, to exiled Jews in Babylon under the authority of Nebuchadnezzar. And if you're new to the program, there are lots of things we can do, but we endeavor to make sure that we have our hearts and minds aligned with the Word of God before we endeavor to navigate the issues of the day. One of the greatest travesties in American history is that we are a nation that has ready access to scriptures, but many of our Bibles collect dust on mantles, coffee tables, end tables, and things like that. But I would encourage you to break it out. And that's why we do so in this program. The Word of God enables us to navigate the issues of the day well. Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm going to focus on verses 5 through 7. This is a portion of Jeremiah's instruction. There were false prophets that were telling the Jews in exile that, oh, this will be a light affair. We'll be home by morning, you know. And the Lord through Jeremiah saying, now these cats are lying to you. Don't believe those liars. No, we're going to be here. We're going to be here 70 years, just as the prophets before me prophesied. And I'm telling you now, as the Spirit of God is carrying me forward, we're going to be here a while. All right. But that is not the end of the story, because the purpose here is not utter annihilation. It's to invite repentance so that you will be restored. You will be brought back to the land, which was fulfilled. But this is a portion of that. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 5 through 7. Build houses. This is build houses in Babylon. Build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare, or the Hebrew there is a shalom. Seek the shalom of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its shalom you will have shalom. The principle that I want you to be aware of there is that God conveyed to his people that the place where I'm sending you is a place where you should seek for it to be blessed. And it's important to know, because a lot of people may be aware, some may not be aware, but a lot of people use the word shalom to mean exclusively peace, as if it means peace in the English sense. Furthermore, lots of people use the word peace to simply convey a stasis where there's a lack of tension. All right. But the word shalom is far more encompassing than a mere lack of tension or cessation of hostilities. It literally it means all of this in one word. It is completeness. It is soundness. It is peace. Yes, it is well-being. It is welfare. It is safety. It is security. It is calmness of heart and mind, all in one term. And so it is to the exiled Jews who are in a traumatic circumstance and in a trauma-inducing environment where the Lord has said to them, hey, don't decrease here. Don't diminish here. Don't allow the circumstance to dictate to you your marching orders, but tune in to what I am telling you. And as you are responding to me, seek the shalom of the place where you are. This is not your ultimate homeland, but this is where you are for the time being. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you understand that right now where we are in the temporal world is not our ultimate homeland. This is the place where we are for the here and now. Now, it doesn't mean that our current place is something to be ignored or insignificant. No. Or unsubstantial. No, it's very significant in God's economy. We should seek to be maximized and to maximize in the time, place, and space where we are. And we should seek the shalom of where we are, because in its shalom, you will find your own shalom. And not only seek it, but the Lord also says to pray for it. It is incumbent upon every American, I don't care what your political persuasion may be, every Christian, and I don't care, you know, what your political persuasion may be, that we should pray for the shalom of our land, the shalom of our nation. We should work for the shalom of our land, the shalom of our nation. And if you are, that's right. In other words, we shall minister where we're planted. That's right. We should grow where we're planted. Absolutely right. This is why I've said, you've heard me say, live locally. Live locally. Every one of us should be invested in seeking the shalom of our nation. And the portion of that pursuit is something I've just been meditating on continually. And I mentioned this last week, that as Nehemiah led the effort to reconstruct the wall surrounding Jerusalem, one of the major strategies was that he invited every family to build the wall right in front of their own home. Build where you live. And the one next to him, build where you live. And the one next to him, build where you live. And the scripture tells us, Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15, that the entire wall was finished in 52 days. The very wall that laid in shambles, laid in rubble. With intention, with devotion, with commitment and submission to the Lord, the whole wall was built, reconstructed in 52 days. There is an urgent need for each one of us, to make our contribution. Or the seasoned saints used to say, lay your log on the fire, young man. There's a fire burning, but where's your log? Lay your log on the fire to contribute to where our nation must go. And I will add this to it. We should never expect the world to produce anything other than the world. As y'all hear me say all the time, the world is gonna world. So if we have a desire, we have an investment for our nation to turn in a God-honoring, in a God-directed manner, guess who is going to have to carry that bucket? It's not gonna come from the world, brothers and sisters. It's not going to come from the world. It's important to note that Jeremiah said, pray for the shalom of the city and seek the shalom of the city. Praying and seeking. Pray and contribute. Pray and pursuit. Not one or the other. Both. And the time for that is now. The time for that is now. Pray for the shalom of the city. For in its shalom, you will have shalom. This is where we are, folks. I've said it. The Lord has given our nation a reprieve. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? Are we going to be those who lose our rudder? And I know President Trump, and I'm grateful for his inauguration today. But he needs somebody to tell him, do you really understand what makes a nation great? A booming stock market alone doesn't make a nation great. Praise God for a booming stock market. But a booming stock market will not make a nation great. Changing over office, electing a new president doesn't automatically make a nation great. The most enduring need for our nation is repentance. And we cannot expect the world to produce that kind of trajectory because it's not going to happen. And I know, and I get it. Listen, the press of the culture is one that wants to enjoy the trappings of what God produces, but with no reverence or submission to him. But we shouldn't expect the world to produce that. That has to come from us. So as we've entered this next phase of our nation's history, let the people of God resolve it in our hearts that we will be the people of God in our time, that each of us will put our hands to the plow that God has placed before us. And just as Nehemiah had families building the wall in front of their very own homes, that we resolve it ourselves, that we will build where we are. And we trust that our brother next to us and our sister next to us will build where they are. And miraculously, what many of the hostiles and the antagonists thought would take years to do, the wall was reconstructed in 52 days. And then the people recognize, the only way they can get that wall built that quickly is if their God is helping them. The King of Kings.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Lord, thank you for every parent listening right now. Anoint every dad, every mom. Anoint every granddad, every grandmom with the wisdom to know that there's so much we can do to bless and encourage and minister to our children as we have them to read the Word of God out loud daily, but also as we teach and train them with the wisdom that draws straight from your Word. Help us to be wise enough to turn off all the electronic gadgets and all the things, the cell phones and everything else, and help us to be wise enough to open your Word with our children and allow them to read the Word and talk about the wisdom, the counsel, the grace that's found there, that they can learn to walk in the light of the wisdom and the power of your Word. There's nothing our children need more than your precious, powerful Word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. What a day, what a day, what a day, what a day. So today is Inauguration Day, to where the administration of the 47th president of the United States of America is underway. One of the major things that is set to occur today, and I believe this process has already started, but there are going to be some official ceremonies and things. President Trump is expected to sign some 200 executive orders between today and tomorrow. Now, you know me, I am not a fan of executive orders attempting to govern at the federal government's executive branch via executive order, but the signatures are basically promulgated to reverse the insanity that the Biden administration put into place. So it's really the rescission of previous executive orders to get it back to a stasis that existed during President Trump's initial term. So that is expected to happen. So much to get to, but I guess I'll start here. The inauguration was moved, and frankly, I don't think this was a last-minute adjustment the way that it was being reported. Maybe a day or two, maybe Saturday, reports began to surface, maybe even late Friday, but began to surface that the inauguration today would no longer take place outdoors, where it had the last few times, but that it would be moved to inside the Capitol Rotunda, the Capitol Building's Rotunda, which is an amazing building. If you've never been there, it is worth going to the Capitol Building just to experience that part of it. But the Capitol Building is quite large, and you have a massive tunnel system there. It's crazy, all of the things that are there. But I will tell you, the public reports were, well, we're going to move the inauguration, you know, because it's cold. The weather. We are going to move it because of the weather. Oh, the weather. So we are surprised to learn that it is cold in January in Washington, D.C. That's a novel development that requires a relocation. This is my perception. This is not a news report or a news story, but I believe it was moved out of safety concerns, frankly, which I think it was prudent to move it. And I saw all of the and say, it's Trump and his ego. He doesn't want to have it outside because he don't want people to see how few folks are going to come to his inauguration. They don't want us to see how few. They don't want to see how small his inauguration is. I was like, that's just, that's not the wisest take, eh? You got an idea. I don't think that's the wisest one to go with. I am pretty sure it was a move made out of safety precautions. Nevertheless, the inauguration took place within the Capitol building's rotunda. And again, I believe it was a wise move. You have a much better capacity to control access to the facilities if you have it indoors. So having said that, I'll give you a little bit of how the inauguration speech began. This is President Trump, after offering pleasantries to those present, he began with what I can only describe as a quite Trumpian announcement concerning his inauguration. It is clip number two. Clip number two. Watch and listen. Clip two. Go.
The golden age of America begins right now. From this day forward, our country will flourish and be respected again all over the world. We will be the envy of every nation, and we will not allow ourselves to be taken advantage of any longer. During every single day of the Trump administration, I will very simply put America first.
So that was very similar to some of the things we heard on the campaign trail. And that was one of the things that was stated. President Trump also said, January 20th will go down in history as Liberation Day. I tell you, Liberation Day, we were free. He called it Liberation Day and the beginning of the revolution of common sense. Which I thought, what a turn of phrase. Revolution of common sense. We could use a bit of that. He mentioned, as I already alluded to in the very beginning, that he talked about the stars and stripes being put on planet Mars. One note that I thought was worthy of pondering a bit more deeply was his reference to his acknowledgement when a bullet ripped through his ear. This is what he said, a bullet ripped through his ear, and that he knows that God saved him. That God saved him. And he said that God saved him. I'll read the quote. I have it right here. Quote, over the past 8 years, I've been tested and challenged more than any president in our 250-year history, and I've learned a lot along the way. The journey to reclaim our republic has not been an easy one, that I can tell you. Y'all know how he pauses. That I can tell you. Those who wish to stop our cause have tried to take my freedom and indeed take my life. Just a few months ago, in a beautiful Pennsylvania field, an assassin's bullet ripped through my ear. But I felt then, and believe even more so now, that my life was saved for a reason. I was saved by God to make America great again. The speech wasn't one of his longest. It was about 30 minutes and some change. Oh, but the beginning of it, if I could just translate and summarize what that speech was. In the beginning of the speech, it was, these people are awful. And thanks be to God, these people are no longer in charge. Believe me, no one wants them around. I don't want them here. And he went on to explain that thanks be to God that we are getting away from these crazy people's vision for our country and back to some sanity and some normalcy. He referred to putting an end to the weaponization of government. And as I mentioned in the first segment, he affirmed that there are only two genders. That's what he said. Now, of course, I would have recommended he say there are only two sexes, but we all get the point. And so he continued to articulate things that he had stated on the campaign trail. But one of the things that's interesting, he also reflected on the desire, really leaning into what type of legacy he will leave as president this time around. Now, I've said to you guys that really the things that he wants to get done, he has to get done. Things that we as American people need to get done from the executive branch's perch has to happen within his first 2 years. So like with the 200 EOs that are supposedly being signed today and tomorrow, we expect the first of his cabinet to be confirmed, if not today, by no later than tomorrow. Much of the conversation on Capitol Hill amongst the Senate is providing him an Obama-esque confirmation pace. Many people may not remember this, but Barack Obama's cabinet was pretty much confirmed within the first 12 days post-inauguration. President Trump in 2017 didn't have his cabinet intact until March. That's a big deal. But there's a unique, or let me say it, a different tone that is being struck here. I mean, you had even the Republicans last time talking about who was going to support Trump and who wasn't going to support Trump. Now you got Democrats saying we need to work with Trump. You had, you know, these designers. I will not design a dress for Melania Trump. I shall not do so. Le poupou, cause le poisson. Le poisson du glou glou. Now they're fighting over bragging. Yes, I designed Melania's outfit this time. And she came in looking like she's had a little conversation with Vito Corleone, yeah? That's the way she was looking. No smiles. Interesting. I told you that Mississippi Valley State's marching band performing at one of their things, and it's very interesting. And then when you looked in the rotunda and you see people like Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk, these are some of the tech companies, and they're all there. It wasn't like that in 2017. So it's pretty interesting. Yeah, Trump is speaking now in one of the events at the Capital One Arena. Not about no taxing on tips. Now, I made a reference to President Trump being cognizant of his legacy and the optimism approaching the Trump era, the remix, couldn't be in more stark contrast with the outgoing Biden administration. And I am grateful that, Lord willing, this will be the last day I have to mention this man. Because it's one of those things, man, and Bobby knows this, I'm right often, and I don't mind admitting when I'm wrong. But I don't like being right about stuff that's detrimental for our country. You know, it bothers me. And all of the hand-wringing and all of the efforts to recast Mr. Biden as something that he's not, like, there's no greater evidence than what happened today. So on the way out of the door, Mr. Joseph Robinette Biden takes out his pen, or whoever is behind the scenes controlling Weekend at Bernie's, the Oval Office edition, and just decides we're going to drop a few more pardons and announce them on the day of President Trump's inauguration. Those pardons include a wholesale pardon of the wee little leprechaun, Dr. Anthony Fauci. It includes a pardon of the January 6th committee, which he doesn't even name them. He announces the committee and the staffers for the committee. And y'all want to buckle up for this one. His family members. Now, I'm going to start with Fauci. If you would, Jeff, would you please show the people the document, the Fauci pardon document, and put it on the screen for the people. Those who are who are listening on the radio and those who are listening via podcast, I'm going to describe for you what is on the screen, or what is about to be on the screen currently. It's the official documentation with the seal of the president's office on the way out of the door. Mr. Ice Cream Man offers Dr. Anthony Fauci the same pardon treatment that he offered his own son, Hunter, when he pardons him for all crimes dating back to January of 2014. Doesn't it make you wonder why they're going that far back? What was Anthony Fauci doing in 2014 Go ahead, you can put it up. If you're ready, go ahead and put it up. What was he doing in 2014? If you're watching the show, look on the screen. Dr. Anthony S. Fauci, a full and unconditional pardon for any offenses against the United States which he may have committed or taken part in during the period from January 1st, 2014. Through the date of this pardon arising from or in any manner related to his service as director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, as a member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force or the White House COVID-19 Response Team, or as chief medical advisor to the president. So somebody want to explain to me why this pardon dates back to 2014, huh? You want to explain that to me? Gain of what now? Gain of function, kind of related to when he was behind the scenes in the emails telling people that he knew that this virus didn't come from a wet market in Wuhan, China. But then all of a sudden, CERN broke like it never even happened. Man, this man, I feel myself getting mad. You know how many people died? And not just died in the past. You know how many people got those jabs? And now the rate for heart problems increased? Young, healthy athletes dropping dead from heart attacks? And this man gets a pardon on the way out of the door. Guys, you can't make this stuff up. And then, if that's not even enough, same thing. General Mark Milley, another 11-year pardon. When you have legitimate questions that have been asked, and I'll just tell you plainly from a legal standpoint, he, through the pardon power, may be attempting to protect them from criminal exposure. But what you have just done is remove from them the ability to use the Fifth Amendment to avoid any types of questions. And you have just made them the focal point of any investigation. But not only that, folks, this man offered full pardons for his own family. I'm not going to get to tell you all of them now, but I'll start. He pardoned his sister, Valerie Biden Owens, her husband, John T. Owens, his two brothers, James Biden and Francis Biden, along with James Biden's spouse, Sarah Jones Biden. Some of the same people that are named in the web of the 20-some-odd LLCs that have been created to move money around following the 11-year pardon for his son, Hunter. What was that we were saying about the Biden crime family? If you had questions about that before, these pardons make you a lot more confident that you are on the right track.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at AFR.net.
The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the perfect opportunity to prepare for God's calling on your life. It's easy to make excuses why you can't pursue what God has called you to do, but this program removes those barriers. Flexible class options, an affordable cost, and highly trusted professors. WBS is the school for you, and now is the time to take a next step and prepare for God's calling on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I mean, I cannot overstate the reality that this announcement was made minutes before President Trump was inaugurated. Like, this is wild. And I'm telling you guys, this is causing even more of a meltdown in the ranks of the Democrat Party. Because you have, I don't know how many people saw this, but over the weekend, Jill Biden gave an interview where she basically said it was Nancy Pelosi who pushed Joe Biden out of the race And she said, we were friends for 50 years. You got all of that. And so then you have this guy, Mark Penn, who was a pollster for She Who Shall Never Be President, the original. And he just came right out on the artist formerly known as Twitter and posted this, quote, the last straw. Last-minute pardons for Biden's political accomplices were the plan all along. The pardons for drug dealers and commutations for murderers were just cover for the main act of these pardons and his son. All done after elections have passed. The only administration to try to jail political opponents was not Trump's, but Biden's. And it was the voters who rejected it with their votes. There were legitimate questions on whether Fauci lied about his funding of gain-of-function research, whether Mark Milley broke the chain of command and had unauthorized communications with the Chinese, which he did, which is, treason, last I checked, and whether the January 6th committee coached witnesses, which they did. I'm reaching over here. Yeah, I got it. They may have all been right and truthful, but there were questions, and they will all go unresolved now. But Biden was elected lying to the public about his son's business, which was eventually uncovered, sought to win re-election hiding his infirmities, which was also eventually uncovered, and genuinely abused his office in the closing days of his presidency as his low ratings sink even lower, end quote. Guys, that's a Democrat pollster saying that. All of the other, you know, with the thousands of pardons Biden used, man, that was all squirrel. Look over there. Look over there. And everybody thought, oh, the pardons are done. Until today. So what does this tell you? The object of the pardon always was the Biden crime family. The 11-year pardon for Hunter Biden because he was the bag man for the Biden crime family. When you trace the web of LLCs and money funneling and laundering, simply on his way out of the door, confirmed what we all know to be true. And the very simple thing is, you know, if they haven't committed any crimes, why are they getting pardons? I remember reading the scripture, the wicked flee when no one pursues. Nobody was investigating them, not currently. It's just amazing to see. It's amazing to see. And now you have, oh, and I can't leave this out, and he mentioned the January 6th committee, and includes Representatives Benny Thompson, Zoe Lofgren, Adam Schiff, who the Californians just made a United States Senator, go figure, should say some of the Californians, enough to constitute a majority of the voters. But I know there were a significant contingent of Californians who didn't do so. Pete Aguilar on the January 6th committee, Stephanie Murphy, Jamie Raskin, Elaine Lavria, Liz Cheney, and Adam Kinzinger, and their staffs, of course, all received pardons. I'm sorry, but if somebody tries to tell me that Mr. Biden was anything other than corrupt, we're going to have a long conversation. Moving forward, yes, preemptive pardons. Ain't that something? And I'll do a whole show at a later date on the constitutionality of preemptive pardons. But I'll just say it certainly does violate the spirit of the presidential prerogative to say someone is pardoned who hadn't even been charged. It's amazing. Israel. Initially, the three-stage ceasefire deal was announced during Marco Rubio's confirmation hearing. Prime Minister Netanyahu came out the next day saying no deal. Prime Minister Netanyahu eventually yielded, giving credit to President Trump, but yielded with this caveat. One thing that President Trump emphasized to me was his agreement that this was a temporary ceasefire. He also promised me that he would remove all of the Biden administration's restrictions on providing military weaponry support for the nation state of Israel, for them to continue prosecuting their war against Israel until Hamas is eliminated. President Trump, this is Netanyahu says, President Trump promised that to me. That made me feel comfortable and confident with getting the hostages that we can get right now out. Now, Sunday, and I'm thankful for for the women who were rescued from Hamas's grasps, three of them who were returned alive to their families yesterday. But I want to point something else out to you that I want you to take note. Now, I'm going to tell you now, so I'm going to set this up, and I want you to watch. Again, for those who are watching, I want you to pay attention to the environment that you see when this happens. Because what I'm going to show you next is video of three of the first of the hostages being released into Israel's custody. Hamas had to get them to Red Cross vehicles, and the Red Cross vehicles would carry them over into Israel. Those who are listening only with audio, listen to the context. All right? Listen to and watch clip number one. Three of the first hostages, all women, returned to Israel yesterday. Clip one, go.
As the daylight started to fade in Gaza, a convoy of International Red Cross vehicles made its way to collect the first three hostages to be released. In chaotic scenes in Gaza, Doron Steinbrecher, Romy Gonan and Emily Damari, a dual British Israeli, were transferred from Hamas to the Red Cross. This was the first sign to the outside world that they were all still alive. Their three mothers, waiting for them at a reception centre on the border, crowded around a mobile phone and saw the first proof that their daughters were coming home.
Now, if you are watching the video, first, if you're listening only to the audio, you can hear all of the chaos. You hear all of the, I'll say it like this, demonic shouts. One of the women returns with only three fingers on one of her hands. The women were humiliated, is what the reports were. Dehumanized by Hamas. I cannot imagine what these women suffered. But hadn't the reporting been in Israel that, you know, it's nothing but starvation and genocide happening in Gaza? Wasn't it? Did those people look like they were starving to you? Did you see, you look like AK-47s? Now they're supposed to just be handing hostages over. See, AK-47, what I'm saying is people that will stage videos and photos with women and children amongst rubble and say, hey, look like this and look like you suffering so we can send these images out. I'll say it for myself. I don't trust terrorists. They've been selling this song and dance in Western media that, it's just poor. These dudes are in uniform. And they want Israel to accept a negotiation that allows them to stay in power and to regroup and to recruit more people. The ravenous, thuggish wolves in the crowd look like they would tear those women apart if they could get their hands on them. These types of videos should be circulated among Western outlets. That didn't make me feel sorry for these people. And I know there are innocent civilians, but are we going to just keep lying about the fact that many in Gaza want these people in leadership? Are we going to keep happy dancing around these facts? I don't blame Prime Minister Netanyahu one bit. I would say, I'm going to do what I got to do to get my people out, but I'm not stopping until I've annihilated all of these terrorists. These people have shown me what they want to do. We were not doing anything. Remember, October 7th, Israel wasn't doing anything to these people. They had planned and plotted, used hang gliding technology to descend upon innocent civilians. I'm grateful that these women will return to their families. But I suggest to you, negotiating with terrorists is a bad idea. Is a bad idea. See, they think opposite of you. They think opposite of civilized people. It's not Israel's responsibility to tell these terrorists to stop using civilians as human shields. It's not Israel's responsibility to tell these terrorists that y'all can't keep having your home bases in hospitals. But they know the game, and they know the media is going to be their greatest ally in the Western parts of the world. So I just wanted you to see that this is supposed to be an environment that it's supposed to be a modicum of peace. Guys, you cannot copy and paste your perspectives where, you know, we're getting DoorDash and Dunkin' Donuts and just say, yeah, they think the exact same way we do, because that's simply not the case. That was Barack Hussein's stick. Oh, look, the problem, they just need jobs. Man. You talking about people talking about they trying to usher in the 12th imam need jobs. That's what you talking about. Man, that's whack. That's intentionally naive.
Cole,
mm-hmm.
You stupid.
Not just stupid, that's evil. Because you know better. You know better. He's the one that called ISIS a JV team. Man, it's insane. As we're speaking, all kinds of things are happening. I believe Marco Rubio was just confirmed in the U.S. Senate. I believe the Laken Riley Act was passed by the U.S. Senate, final passage. Amazing things that are transpiring. I believe the first, I think, nearly 100 of executive orders President Trump intended to sign have been signed today. All of these things are happening while we're on the air. There's a new sheriff in town. There's a new sheriff in town. His name is Donald John Trump. I am grateful for the reprieve that God has afforded us. But we need to make sure that we take full advantage of it and not allow us to revert to where we have been. Because we saw a glimpse of how bad it can be. And if you think it can't get worse than what it was under the previous 4 years, I would just invite you to reread your Bibles. Because it can. Thank you for tuning into the program. It seems like President Trump is hitting the ground running. Praise God for that. I encourage you to hit your ground running. What's the gospel advance look like in your neighborhoods? Are your neighbors believers? Do you know where they stand? These are things that we can attend to and we must attend to. By God's grace, we will be back tomorrow. What a time to be alive. Hit your knees in prayer. Hit the streets in obedience. Exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in your family. And trust. One man plants a seed, another waters, but it's God who brings the increase. If America is going to be great, greatness will come one way and one way only, through repentance. Y'all have a great evening. Hey, and my New Orleans folks, watch out for that snow. I heard it's coming your way.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.